4 years after Woodstock, a circle of friends living in Eureka Springs decided to stage an Ozark Heritage Family Folk Festival in remote Carroll County. But instead of families, thousands upon thousands of people showed up. Ozark's at-largest Jacqueline Froelich takes us to the site on the 40th anniversary.
Dustin, Todd Griffith, his spouse April, and Desmo, the terrier, hike up a forested dirt road this frigid Sunday morning towards what was the amphitheater for the Ozark Mountain Folk Fair. Along the way, Dustin stops to show us traces of abandoned campsites covering the 110-acre parcel inhabited by hippies 40 years ago.
You'd be wandering through the woods and come across like these little campfire rings, and this one's kind of grown up, but you can still see, like, you know, right here, these old bottles, and you know, this was where someone camped during the festival, and there's just spots like this all over the place up here.
Dustin is an ace mechanic. April, a research librarian at the Shiloh Museum of Ozark History. Dustin's people have lived on this land for several generations. He spent his childhood exploring every bit of it.
Well, basically, this creek that we're just about to walk across is kind of splits. Basically, the property is two hillsides, and they come together and kind of form a little bit of a natural sort of bowl.
Along the way, we see several half-buried concrete pads covered in rusted iron pipe. Water spigots, says April Griffith.
There's a really great photo in the Springdale News of a young hippie girl washing her feet right next to these spigots. It was really neat when I started doing the research and I saw it and I said, oh, hey, I know exactly where that is.
Dustin, April, and their family are the only ones now who know where this place is. Dustin's grandparents, who occupied the parcel at the time, leased the property to create a temporary Ozarks Folk Festival village. And artifacts from that fair are scattered everywhere.
It's mostly, you know, concert detritus. There's some really old vintage bottles. I like old things, so to me that's been the most interesting thing is some really beautiful, like, artisan glass bottles. Someone drinking a big bottle of wine. I think we found a keychain. We found that moccasin.
When I was little, I found a six-pack of Dr. Pepper in the creek. And in the steel cans, was still had the plastic thing on it. And I was like, oh my God, it's a whole six pack of Dr. Pepper. And I picked it up and half the cans were gone. It was just the top half of them. They'd been sitting in the creek, like trying to stay cold. And the whole bottom of them were just, all six of them were gone on the bottom half.
With the tabs, remember those? A well drilled especially for the festival is just up the hill, which gravity fed three individual water spigot systems, including a kitchen. Above that, the amphitheater bowl, Dustin Griffith.
I'm not real sure where the stage was completely laid out, but it was definitely in here. And you can see, like, there's lumber left over from, like, in some of the pictures you can see this big wooden kind of wall that they built, and there's all these nails, like, in some of these trees right in here. And what my dad told me is they cut down trees and laid them on the hillside. And that was the seating.
Nothing remains except a few old boards half dissolved into the dirt. But 40 years ago, those log benches were packed with fans, listening to a remarkable amalgam of musical acts. Earl Scruggs Review, John Lee Hooker, the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, Leo Kottke, Mason Prophet, the Lewis Family, John Hartford, Big Mama Thornton, Clifton Chenier and the Cajun Band, John Loudermilk, and of course the Ozark Mountain Daredevils, and more. Tickets to the event, $12. According to fair co-organizer Albert Skiles, the Ozark Mountain Folk Fair was unprecedented.
You had black gospel music. You had Earl Scruggs, the traditional bluegrass. You had James Cotton Blues Band that was just awesome. You know, lots of drums, lots of brass. So they were all within a certain circle of musical, I guess, genre.
Skiles, who's an amateur drummer, got to play on stage with John Lee Hooker as the house band.
Anyway, he showed up out of the blue in a helicopter because he decided he really wanted to play, but he never said anything to anybody. He just got his guitar and walked out there and started playing, and we were backstage wondering where he was. And all of a sudden, everybody started screaming. And he said, well, he's out there playing. I said, well, we better go get on the drums.
Albert Skiles had just graduated from architecture school in Texas and moved to the Ozarks in 1972, looking to homestead. He landed in Eureka Springs, where he met Ed Jeffords, a West Coast journalist and rock and roll promoter who had also moved to Eureka. Jeffords, a Rector native, had formed the Ozark Mountain Folklore Association, used his connections in the rock and roll industry to book talent for the folk fair. His event was endorsed by Arkansas Parks and Tourism, Eureka Springs City Council and Chamber of Commerce, as well as the Arkansas State Legislature. A crew of six assisted Jeffords in organizing the Ozark Mountain Heritage Fair, which reportedly cost $25,000 to set up. Jeffords' intent was to create a family heritage event, blending national and regional Southern bluegrass, gospel, and folk musicians with 40 working Ozark craftsmen and farm fresh foods. Instead, along with a few country families who showed up, thousands of pot-smoking, long-haired hippies swamped the festival.
It was great. It was great. It was a great release because everybody looked just like you. And there was a counterculture going on at the time, the Vietnam War and so forth. It was great to be among your friends.
Albert Skiles was in charge of graphics and posters and assisted with festival site design. The ecology and natural foods movement were just taking off, he said. Fairgoers parked along Highway 23 North, just south of the Missouri-Arkansas border, and hiked through the front gate, but it was impossible to construct fencing around the perimeter, so Jeffords hired a security firm from Tulsa, Men on Horseback, to protect the place, but the cowboys couldn't contain the hordes sneaking through the woods. They eventually split. Attendance numbered between 20,000 to as high as 150,000, a figure provided to regional media by the Arkansas State Police. And even more would have come, Skiles said, if the weather had cooperated. Torrential rains and lightning shut the festival down Saturday night, reopening Sunday. Fair organizers published a special newspaper program guide, now yellowed with age, advising patrons to bring necessary camping gear, but to leave behind their hassles, alcohol, weapons, prejudices, and politics.
Reminiscing here, reading about it, they had one of the first times I could see advertising organic vegetarian fare. Not just hot dogs, you see. And this was, I think, an offshoot of the Earth Day was just in 1970, the first Earth Day. So you have Earth Day, you have the Vietnam War, you have Woodstock, you have all these influences. And then you had this great influx of artists and musicians and architects like myself that moved to Eureka in the early 70s. And this is what helped formulate this idea, and this event was a showcase for all that.
According to the Eureka Springs Times-Echo newspaper, conservatives were not at all pleased with the event in their backyard, but local businesses were. Even the performers were blown away by all the good vibes, said John Lee Hooker and Leo Kottke, who since returned to Eureka to perform. Thousands of black and white photos taken by Albert Skiles and others attest to this mellow vibe. Albert Skiles eventually left Eureka Springs to establish a successful architectural firm in northwest Arkansas. Fair organizer Ed Jeffords also moved on, obtaining a law degree, eventually serving as assistant Texas Attorney General. He died in 2002. The fair was staged just once. It apparently went bankrupt, with so many hippies breaching the perimeter. Adjacent to the Griffith family homesteads, the parcel has stood empty. So will the family post any interpretation and provide public tours someday? April Griffith.
What stands out about this event and what it sort of connects to the Ozarks in the bigger sense is the Back to the Land movement. I think a lot of those people attended this concert, and I think that's probably part of the history of that. So I think maybe when more people are interested in this part of history as it becomes more and more historic and there's more interest, yeah, we'd be happy to give people tours.
Still, she wonders at why so little is known or written about the epic 1973 Ozark Mountain Folk Fair.
I think one of the interesting things about researching this event is that it's very apocryphal because there's not a whole lot of documentation. There were people who were there. There were people who were there who have died. There were people who were there who maybe their memories aren't the best because a lot of substances being being consumed at that time. So there's different versions to the story. So what I've been doing is, as I hear different versions, I've just been keeping it all, because, you know, I'm trying to collect as much as I can, because, you know, like, so much history, who knows what's really the truth. So I just want to keep all versions of it.
April Griffith has said about formally documenting the festival, and perhaps someday the museum will host a special exhibit, she says. Extensive footage of the fair taken by noted American music documentary filmmaker Les Blank, who was there, exists, likely buried in his archive. He too has passed away. As for Dustin and April Griffith, they're constructing another homestead on the family property where they intend to raise their family and tend to the festival's ghosts. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
If you'd like to read April Griffith's blog on the Ozark Mountain Folk Fair, you can visit The Back Stay at shilohmuseum.org. One book has been published. It's a collection of pictures that was gathered by photographer Jim Mathis. You can see that at jimmathis.zenfolio.com. That's jimmathis.zenfolio.com.